afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is August 10th. It's Thursday, and it's 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Elodie.
Another exciting day in the gold market and silver market, and a little pressure on the stock market today. And not sure if this is a continued trend. I think it all depends on what's going to be going on with North Korea. We'll be talking about. There were some other reports that came out today that could have added additional pressure to the markets. I'm not sure anyone's paying any attention to it because all eyes are focused as, you know, North Korea and the United States has been digested and cut up and analyzed continuously for the past week, I guess, past couple of days anyway. Gold today is up $8.20 at $1,286. Silver is up 15 cents at $17.08. Platinum was up 7 at $986, and palladium was up 9 at $900. The USDX today is down 0.12 at 93.39. It looks like no one wants the US dollar going into the weekend, or, you know, with the situation with Korea, which I find interesting. And oil was down 0.99 at 48.57. 10-year yield was down 2.21%, down 0.03. And that's another interesting, I would have thought that would have dropped a little bit more, but kind of interesting to see those numbers not move more than what they have. The U.S. Paper market today, we have the Dow down 200 points, not quite 1%. At 21,847. The NASDAQ was down 135 points. That was down a little over 2% at 6,216. The S&P was down almost 1.5%, down 35 points at 24.38. And the euro was stronger, of course, 0.08 at 118. Hong Kong was down a little over 1%. London was down about 1.5%. Germany was down about 1.5%. Fear and Greed Index. We're going to talk about the VIX, too, where that's at. That jumped out of that 9 territory pretty quick.
You mean they're becoming fearful?
Hey,
it's no longer peace in the valley?
What emotion is driving the market? This is the CNN Money Fear and Greed Index. That went from, where were we yesterday, 60-something, like high 50s? It's 32 today. Big, big drop. So, again, we see, I don't know if I have my VIX calculations here real quick. Yeah, the CBO Volatility Index, VIX, the most widely followed barometer, rose to a three-month high of 15.36. And remember, everybody was shocked that it was hitting all-time lows. It even broke that 9, went into the high 8s briefly. Well, that was just last week, I believe it was, perhaps the week before. But so that has risen to 15.36. So I'll tell you what, you know, 1% drop in the stock market, 2 for the NASDAQ, for a foreign an emotion of fear at 32 from 60. We ain't seen nothing yet. I think it's going to be a nasty day tomorrow. It's going to be a bloody day tomorrow. I wouldn't be holding any paper over the weekend because you don't know what's going to happen over the weekend. And
well, it is strange. We've seen gold's had, you know, a couple of good days, which is, you know, surprising. It's up, it's down, it's whatever. We'll watch and see. But tomorrow's going to be, I think, telling. I think we're going to learn a lot tomorrow, and we'll see.
I think we will, too. Yeah. And there were some other things that came out today that was released. Shares of Macy, they tumbled 9.5%. Kohl's dropped 7%. There was a reported drop in quarterly same-store sales. retailer results, or let me see if I can pull this article up real quick. You had Macy's. Macy's was down more than 40% this year. Kohl's has dropped, well, 6.7% today, but for the year, they're almost down 25%.
You're not talking about the value of the stock. You're talking about how much their revenue is down for 40% or whatever as compared to just last year. Is that what we mean right now?
Yeah, these are their stocks.
Oh, these are the stocks.
These are same source. Let's see. All reported drops in same store sales. Yes. Same store sales.
Okay, sales are down that much.
Dillard's plummeted 15% alone on Thursday. Shares of Nordstrom, they don't have any there. But so again, a lot of those earnings came out today and were not very good. U.S. producer prices, that unexpectedly fell in July, recording their biggest drop in nearly a year, while another set of numbers showed that Americans are filing for unemployment benefits, that unexpectedly rose. The inflation data for the month was not good. Wall Street was expecting more inflation. But Federal Reserve Bank of New York President William Dudley suggested on Thursday that today that the central bank was on track to raise interest rates once more, as he expects sluggish inflation to rise over the next several months. And I think he will be absolutely correct. So we saw some other things, declining issues, outnumbered advances on the New York Stock Exchange by a little over 2,400 to 444. So it will be a telling day tomorrow. It will be an interesting day tomorrow. And I don't think a lot of people, I think they'll position themselves tomorrow if the rhetoric of North Korea continues to be.
I don't think it's just the rhetoric of North Korea. When we start talking about retail sales being down as much as you talked about for Macy's and Kohl's, for example, and we hear reports that there's a retail sales apocalypse taking place right now from other people, that is, to me, consistent with the VIX numbers you're talking about. It's evidence that people are afraid to buy things. It's not just evidence that they've gone fishing or we'll catch up on our shopping next week. To me, significant declines indicate an emotional reason. And I look at that and I think the numbers we're getting in the stock market, perhaps, you know, we've talked about the markets being manipulated and whatever for a long time. And it may be that that manipulation is kind of holding those numbers up and resisting impulses here. But when the VIX is moving and when toward fear, and when people aren't buying at Kohl's and Macy's, we'll watch and see. We don't know what the absolute truth is, or I certainly don't, but it really looks like we're in for an emotional response.
Absolutely. But we've talked for years about where they were going to go to war just to cover up the economic collapse. And here we are. The numbers aren't coming out and matching what they tell us that is. Yes. People out there, the general populace, yeah, they're feeling good. You know, they're feeling good because the stock markets are high. And in fact, there was a report earlier today, I don't know if I can bring it up here, where it showed that the consumers are feeling better consumer comfort. Weekly consumer comfort measures.
That consumer comfort
consumer
or Southern comfort?
Consumer comfort, yeah. They're going to need some
Pass
Southern.
Me the Southern comfort, will you?
That stuff is nasty. I haven't heard that name in a long time. But that's
I don't know if they still
dangerous.
Even make that stuff. But.
I don't know. I had it once in my young days, and it has a kick. It had a big kick. But, yeah, you're the first one that's mentioned Southern comfort in a long time. But consumers, the weekly consumer comfort measure jumped to 51.4. That's the highest since week ending August 19th of 2001. So you might laugh at that, but they do this report on a weekly basis, and it just goes to show you that, you know, hey, consumers are upbeat with the higher stock markets. They think that there's a lot of job vacancies out there. You know, they're feeling optimistic. since the last
recession. I understand, but we've still got that VIX. Some of them are feeling optimistic, but we've still got that VIX thing that says, no, there's a problem.
Well, that really
got Macy's and Kohl's says there's a problem. We'll see what, you know, it's one of those situations where it might not be clear right now. But one of the things that surprises me is that they have held the dollar above 93 for most of the last week. And I get the impression, all right, without evidence other than just, you know, taking a guess, somebody's made up their mind they're going to try to hold the dollar at the 93 line. We dropped a load for a while, but they popped back up. And even now, I mean, today it only, the U.S. dollar index only dropped something like 0.11, 0.11. And while gold jumped almost $8 for the day, and yesterday was a good day for gold, again, didn't see too much movement in the U.S. dollar index, I would have expected more movement unless somebody was manipulating and say, we can't let it fall beyond such and such. We'll watch and see. I have a feeling they're going to try to hold the line at 93, and that feeling is not worth, you know, that and a couple of bucks will get you a cup of coffee, Dunkin' Donuts, but...
Usually when there's geopolitical situations that we're having and so forth, you will see strength in the dollar because people usually will go to, you know, the dollar for safe haven because it is still the world reserve currency. However, I think what we're seeing is we might see people, and perhaps we would have seen it drop out of 90, at least break that 93 into 92, 91, had there not been buying. So, you know, it's really hard to tell on such a short-term basis just to see, you know, which direction it's going to go.
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
I do believe that's a possibility that you have people, it would have fallen, but you have people in there purchasing it, and now, you know, gold is beginning to shine once again, but already you have your financial planners out there saying, oh my gosh, you don't want gold in this market. I mean, it's just like, you've got to be kidding. Just let it go.
What you want are some derivatives. Get some derivatives. That's
some
what the
paper.
Big boys want.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know what's going to happen. And I do have to pat myself on the back. Alfred, you'll have to confirm and agree with me. 2 weeks ago, it was on a Friday. It was after we finished this program. And it was when Scaramucci was canned and Kelly was named as chief of staff. And he's a general. And I called Al. I says, he's taking in a general for the chief of staff. I said, I'll guarantee you gold would be up over 1,300 by next Friday. And we'll be in war. I'm a week early. We're not quite at war yet. We're not quite at 1,300 yet. But just knowing that he got that chief of staff, I knew we were headed in some direction. You just don't have that many generals in high positions and can't expect war. And that's how I saw it. And those were my indicators. And so, you know, I was a week early. But and I don't know.
Better a week early than a week late.
I don't know if we're going to go to war. I don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. But I do think they've taken us to the edge with this situation. But hey, look at Kennedy. You can look at the Cuban missile crisis. We were taken to the edge there too. But not sure if it's a good comparison or.
This is a completely different edge.
I think so.
I mean, it's
too.
One thing to go to an edge with Russia with intercontinental ballistic missiles that you know, and bombers and rest of that thing. Another thing to go to the edge with some guy who is at least portrayed in the media as being crazy. All right, we are being helped to understand that this guy has lost his mind and
that's
he's
what
got
they told us.
Nuclear
that's
weapons.
What they and you can't believe the media, so you kind of, I question, is he as nutty as what they tell us? Don't know.
Probably not. All right. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm not. I have no reason to think that Kim is, you know, anything other than...
He wants us out of South Korea.
He does things that really are crazy, and he's asking for it. He's asking for it, and an intelligent man would pull in his horns. You know, he's going to get a lot of people killed with nothing more than his mouth. you know, as a practical matter, if you are a warrior, if you are a dictator, if you are inclined to go to war, it doesn't make much sense to announce to your adversary that we're going to bomb you. Surprise is one of the key elements. I mean, the guy is behaving like a lunatic. You can't keep, somebody's going to believe him. Somebody's going to believe him, and then they're going to bomb him, and he's going to, the whole thing is insane. You know, it's another one of these stories where it appears that the world is populated by a lot of governments that are just, I don't even say a lot, but some, a few, that are bound and determined to have a war. And it may
That's
be that they
America
need
does,
to do that.
Though,
I know that. I know. I know. I'm not saying.
Do.
I'm not saying
we
the other countries.
We've had a war since the beginning. What? I can't remember how many years on a regular basis from the very beginning.
Yeah. Starting with, I don't know.
Every 50 years, I think there was a major.
Oh, 50 years. I don't worry about 50 years. That doesn't.
Yeah, but we're due. My point
what
is,
every
we're
couple
overdue.
Of years, we're got another. Yeah, we're talking about another
I'm
one in
about
Yemen.
World War,
we're talking about sending
situation.
Troops into Yemen, for God's sake.
That's not a world.
No, war. We'll be sending troops into Canada before this is all over. You know, just little. Where are the limits? It becomes. And I think it's catching up with people. And again, this Vick's report, maybe Kohl's, maybe Macy's, maybe it's telling us that, you know, people are, they're not going to part. They're not going to spend anything right now because they've got a feeling, they've got, if they're afraid or whatever, we'll see. We're going to learn a lot tomorrow.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot. Maybe this is just going to all blow over tomorrow. And things will calm down and go back to normal, and the stock market will jump back up to 22,000. And I don't know, gold will have a bad day, maybe, but maybe not. All right, we're going to watch. Tomorrow is going to be interesting to see. And if we get another day comparable to what we've seen in the last two, that will be a pretty good evidence. It won't be proof, but it'll be pretty good evidence that things, trends are beginning to reverse. Things that were going down or that were moving slow are going to start moving more quickly. Trends are going to start to go up that had been going down or just, you know, stagnating. And it'll be time for everybody to hang on tight. Watch and see. Maybe this stuff's going to hit the fan tomorrow, or at least get closer to the fan. I mean, if we do have a problem, it's not likely to be a situation where they just throw a switch and all of a sudden everything goes off. It's not going to be like that. We'll have a problem and it'll get other things going, and eventually then we'll have another step in the problem, then we'll go a little further, we'll have another step in the problem, and it'll probably take place over a couple of years, but we'll watch and see. We're going to take a break, get a couple of commercials, be right back with Melody Cederstrom and myself. I'm Alfred Addis. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We have had a nice rise in gold for the year. Back in January 1st, gold was $1,151. Today we're looking at $1,286. So that's up almost 12%. You have silver. That started out at $15. $15.95. Today it's $17.08. That's up almost 7%. So had some nice runs with gold and silver, but these are far cries from what they're going to do. We had a good start, and I think it's going to finish the year even much, much, much stronger. If this situation continues, even if they don't do anything, if the rhetoric just continues till the end of the year, there's no reason we can't see gold pass its old high of 2,000 or close to 2,000, and silver, who knows where silver can go. So it's a good time to be getting it at these lower prices. You know, don't wait for the weekend, and come Monday, if something bad does happen, then you start, you know, oh my gosh, I got to do this. Get it done first. Position yourself, prepare in all ways, not just in your finances, but in every way that you can do so. And I pray that nothing happens. I don't want anything to happen. I want gold and silver at these levels you can continue to purchase. And, you know, people want silver at 100 plus. People want gold at 3,000 and 5,000 plus. Nasty things will be happening when those prices are realized. And I have no doubt in my mind that those prices won't be realized, but things will not be very nice. It's an interesting article out of the Wall Street Journal. And it's about gold, and it talks about the Fed has 6,200 tons of gold in a Manhattan basement. Or does it? The central bank provides limited inventory information, won't let outsiders count the bars, prompting skeptics to pounce. And they give some various reasons. 80 feet below the streets of Lower Manhattan, a Federal Reserve vault is protected by armed guards. The Fed tells visitors its basement vault holds the world's biggest official gold stash, valued between $240 and $260 billion. But no one at all can be sure that gold is really there, except the Fed employees that have the access to it. So they
Even
they can't be sure.
Because it may be phony ingots that are made, that are gold-plated tungsten. You may see a stack of ingots, but what's in them?
The central bank has never in its history provided any proof. And, you know, there's all of us, just give us a audit. Hey, let's audit and tell us that it's there. Why hide it? There is, you can have, you know, tungsten covered bars there. What I believe the central banks leased out the gold, and they release it and continue leasing it, but they carry it on their books like they still have it. It can be
Which means that the supply of gold in the world is significantly less than what we're led to believe, which means the price should be significantly more. I mean, the price of gold is based on the assumption that we have X number of tons of gold in the world, ultimately. That's at least part of the way we calculate. It's part of the consideration for calculating what the price of gold is. We can say, okay, I don't know what the number of tons is. We got 100,000 tons. Okay, maybe. I don't know if that's right or wrong. But, okay, but what happens if it turns out, oh, you don't. You've only got about 90,000 tons. Well, what happens to your price then? The price per real ounce of gold has to go up. Or at least that's what we could assume. And if the last time there was an audit of the U.S. Treasury, our gold supply, I believe it was 1953. Now, they haven't audited in over half a century. And you have to wonder about that. And there are people who've been suspicious for, I'll bet you, a decade, and maybe more than that. There's been serious suspicion that maybe the gold's not really there, that the government has been taking the gold out, taking the real bars out, melting them down, taking part of the gold to cover it back up and cover up a tungsten ingot, make it look like gold, stick it back, stash it back in the pile, and use the gold that they'd acquired from melting the bars down and use that, sell it off into the world in order to suppress the price of physical gold. Now, nobody knows if that's true or false. I certainly don't. But I know that there have been a lot of people that suspect that. And there's a serious undercurrent for people who follow gold. And they say, you think they really have, you know, 6,200 tons? They're talking about here and 8,200 tons for the U.S. Treasury altogether, which would include, I think, the 62. I'm not sure if that's, I believe that's true. But in any case, given that the doubt exists and it's known to exist, and the people at the Federal Reserve must know it exists, and they have to know that this doubt does not inspire confidence, and confidence is what this whole system is about, it should be incumbent on them to say, all right, all these idiots, they think we got rid of the gold. Let's do a real inventory. They should do it, but they don't. And the fact that they don't becomes evidence that maybe they can't. And that would mean that the gold, much of it, all of it, who knows, some of it is bye-bye, gone, no longer in places where they claim it is. And if they find that's true, there's going to be a kind of hell to pay, because the American people are going to want to know, what did you do with the American treasury? What happened? Who got it? Obama? Nixon? Who got the gold? China? What have we done with the gold? And for what purpose did we liquidate the treasury for the American people? That's our gold in there. It's not the feds, not the governments per se. It's the people's gold, at least in theory. Where'd it go? And so,
I want my share.
I'd like to just know the truth of the matter.
I know. We'll find out. But what's interesting is this is a Wall Street Journal article, and it said after this article was published, a Fed spokesman said the Fed doesn't own any of the gold housed at the New York Fed, which does not use it in any way for any purposes, including loaning or leasing it out. Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, seeking a better glimpse inside the vault and at Fed procedures and records, the Wall Street Journal filed Freedom of Information requests with the New York Fed. Among the journal's findings from a heavily redacted tour guide manual provided by the Fed, tour guides are informed that visitors are excitable and should be asked to please keep their... Well, I don't know what that has to do with it. It describes how, you know, three Fed staffers have to be present when gold is moved or a compartment opened. New York Fed President William Dudley told a March gathering in Queens that the fictional raid by drilling through the subway tunnel in a 95 movie was far-fetched. And I do believe, I mean, I really do believe it was leased, and I do believe what was not leased was stolen, but anyway. But it's interesting that it talks about the various theories built on what the Fed doesn't say about goings on in its vaults, 122 compartments. But it doesn't report when bars enter or leave and doesn't let in outsiders other than auditors and account holders. So but it's interesting. Again, it's the Wall Street Journal making a fairly lengthy article on gold and the Federal Reserve.
And that's what's impressive about this in part. You know, we see publications that are, you know, dissident publications, certainly not mainstream publications, who've been talking about the gold is missing. That's been a persistent theme, you know, over a scattering of publications for a decade probably, mm-hmm. right, the suspicions. But when you start to see it in the mainstream media, they're starting to discuss that possibility. And the Wall Street, did you say the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times?
Wall Street.
No, Wall Street Journal. That's significant to me, just because I would expect the Wall Street Journal to toe the line on this and maintain the company perspective. Oh yeah, the gold, sure, we know the gold is there. Wall Street Journal's coming out and say maybe not. That's pretty good evidence that this is not an irrational. That gives the whole idea a certain amount of credibility that it may not have had before, and it will help to accelerate the moment when somebody finally says, all right, we're going to audit this stuff. We're not just going to count the bars. We're going to drill them and see what's inside of them. Now, they could have an audit. Maybe they've got to say however many bars they're supposed to have, they've got exactly the right number of bars. What's inside them? You know, it was maybe a decade ago, most of that, when China reported they had a slew of gold bars that they got somewhere along the line, and ultimately they were traced back to the United States government, and they found out that those gold bars, they had tungsten cores. And there was kind of a big to-do about it initially, and then it just died off. Nobody said anything more about it. And the reason is if I had, let's suppose I had 100 gold bars, and everybody looks at them and says, yep, those are gold bars, those are else gold bars, here's the serial numbers and the rest of that. Well, that gives me a certain amount of financial clout. It gives me a basis for a certain amount of credit, perhaps. If I find out, oh my gosh, my gold bars are actually tungsten, do I want to broadcast that fact? Because I'm not going to get a refund on whoever I got the bars from. It's my word against theirs, whether they put the tungsten in the bars or I put the tungsten in the bars. Who's responsible? If you're caught with a bar full of tungsten, too bad for you. So it's incumbent on people who get these tungsten bars to keep their mouths shut so they can pass these gold bars off to the next idiot. All right? And that's what seemed, that's the way I read it with China. They were all upset initially, and then they didn't say much. They just kind of died, and nobody talked about it much anymore.
Or it was a fake story.
No. Well, for all I know, maybe it was. I don't know
anymore.
What the truth was, but... Yeah, I wasn't there. It wasn't, you know, so I don't know. It seems to me that if the gold is there, what is the problem with auditing it? I mean, how many centuries do we have to go before we audit the gold? What if the janitor's been stealing one bar of gold every month for the past 10 years? They found a way to sneak the gold out of the vault. What if? Why not do an inventory and find out? And let's see what's happening.
Yeah, if they consider it to be such a barbaric relic, then, you know, why not show it to us? What difference does it make? Doesn't mean anything anymore to them. So
that's what they would have you believe.
Believe, exactly.
You know, this is another point. Where do you don't need any gold. You don't need any gold. Okay, then why don't they just store it in the front window of Macy's or Kohl's or something
exactly.
like that? Why do they keep their stash of gold 80 feet underground? It seems to me like somebody must think this
must
is pretty
some
important.
Some value, yeah.
Yeah, somebody must think this is pretty important because they're going to a lot of trouble to, you know, hide the stash, protect the stash. It's evidence that if they're telling you, you don't need any gold. We need gold, but you don't need any gold. You people don't need any gold. Oh, yeah?
They watch gold just like they watch the paper markets. And I can remember Ben Bernanke, Helicopter Ben, in response to a question from Ron Paul. And this is, you know, during the crisis, the recession, the Great Recession. He said, I watch gold every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to them. They understand it. They get it. They just don't want the people to get it. But because they wouldn't be able to, if people got it, they wouldn't be able to run a $42.94 billion budget deficit in July. With an early fall deadline looming for Congress to raise the federal borrowing limit and fund government operations for the coming fiscal year, this is, if anything happens, whatever goes on with North Korea and the markets, they still have to deal with the debt ceiling. They still have to deal with this coming up, the approach. This might be the perfect storm that's coming together. This isn't something that they can, you know, yes, they can just raise the debt ceiling and be done with it. I don't think it's going to be that easy this time like it has been in the past. So
they can manipulate all sorts of numbers. They can manipulate the unemployment rate and the inflation rate and interest rates, and they can the gross domestic product. All these numbers are manipulable. But when you get into physical quantities, it's either there or it's not there. If you say you have 1,000 bars of gold, show me. Let's get the calculator and add them up.
Agreed.
My point is they can't easily mess with physical reality. Digital, yeah, it's all CGI.
Right, but I was moving on to showing that we do have this debt problem that is quickly approaching.
Yeah.
And they say October, but there's been reports of September. So
September is when it'll kick in. They've got to get it done by September 29th, if I understand. And then it will happen in October that they actually face the limit if they don't get the agreement by September 29th, my understanding. Then the following month.
They run out of money in September.
Yeah, no. Which,
so
how terrible is that? Is that a bad thing?
My point is there's going to be a lot of things going on when they get back from their August vacation. And what will also be interesting, too, is wouldn't they have to come back if we did any type of
war
with North Korea?
Tillerson, they'd eventually have to come back, but I think Trump has the opportunity while the Congress is away, the cat can play, right? I think Trump is in a situation where he doesn't need approval. He can actually run and gun, and the Congress may want it that way. They may have said, let's take our vacation, we'll get out of this thing and let Trump bomb whoever he wants to bomb, and he can take responsibility for it. We'll see which way the wind is blowing. By the time we get back, we can cover our own backsides. It may be, if there were any truth for that, it may be they were sitting up and saying, well, we'll wait until Congress goes on vacation. They're going to take recess. Maybe they're going to take recess in an underground bunker. I'm being facetious, but you catch my drift. Congress is out of town. If Trump needs to act, he probably can. Doesn't have to worry about congressional approval.
Tillerson does say there's no imminent threat of a North Korea war, but what else would you expect him to say? That we're going to a break?
He could have said that.
Maybe
he did say that.
Maybe.
We'll check
maybe
with Tillerson.
Maybe you should say that.
All right, I'll see it. We're going to a break. We're going to take a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. And we are contemplating, Melody said she was all talked out about war and rest of that. I think we're I think we got a couple more points to do.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I just want to let everyone know, I just got a new price sheet on my pre-1933 coins, and they all popped here in the last half hour, by $10. Gold is, still the same price as it was. Coins popped. Those $10 Mint State 62 Liberties, they're still holding at the, if you purchase two of them, they're still holding at the same level as a 20. But those prices now, this morning we were selling them for $690. I can do them for $695. I'll do them for $695. So where did we start out at? $665 on those coins. And these are half an ounce. Mm-hmm. So a great increase. Multiply it by two, and they've done extremely well. So $695. Mint State 62, $10 Liberty gold pieces. They're still priced to where they're very affordable. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And I actually have to say, Al, you were making a good point about Korea and with having our motto over there. And they're just not going to come home.
No, they can't.
Without some sort of resolution, whether it be more sanctions, whether it is something is being forced to be done. Something is going to happen.
There has to be something where Kim Jong-un is perceived to give up something. We either have to bomb him or he's got to make concessions, or in the alternative, Trump allegedly sent over at least two aircraft carriers with a couple of battleships and whatever go along with the aircraft carriers initially, and maybe even the third one. I don't know if the third one got there or didn't, but there were allegedly two of them out there. They can't just drive those things around like teenagers using
false
dad's
alarm
car on the weekend, taking his girl out to the drive-in or something
false
like
alarm
that.
Yeah.
You don't just never mind. That costs money to move those people and those ships around, and somebody's got to pay for that, at least politically, and it's got to be Kim Jong-un. And it puts Trump in a position if he just says, well, all right, just send him, bring him back, bring him home, we'll forget. He loses. Trump loses if he doesn't get something out of this. Once he commits those aircraft carriers, he's got to get something, and it either means he has to bomb North Korea or North Korea has to say, look, I tell you what, we'll play nice. All right, we promise. Scout's honor. We're promising everybody. Oh, we have, and then we can have people stand up and say we have peace with honor. All right? We'll watch and see. It'll be a crock more than likely if they tell you that. But I won't be surprised to hear it. But there must be a concession or casualties from North Korea. And if they don't do that, then Trump takes a big hit. So my guess is something's got to be done here. And they can't just drive those boats around, drive those aircraft carriers around, like they're cruising through the Tasty Freeze on Saturday night with your girlfriend. Something's got to happen here because they have made that commitment, and therefore there's got to be a payoff or Trump takes a beating. So,
and I believe all these wars are always off budget, so we never know how many billions and billions of dollars are being spent while those ships are cruising the seas and so forth.
Yeah, that might be. I'm not sure.
No, I'm pretty sure most war it is off budget. You know, I know the Iraq war. I know the Iraq war was, and a lot of other military adventures were all off budget. But so we're talking big bucks.
Yep.
Coming from a nation that's bankrupt. So how's that?
We're talking big borrowing too. We're talking big loans. You know.
Yeah, but look, doesn't seem like they're buying. From the numbers, it could all change. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of borrowing going on, but we'll see.
I don't think you could. One of the problems we have in the world right now, when we have this debt-based monetary system, it makes war way more affordable because you can go to war on credit. Historically, it used to be they'd talk about the kings and, you know, the different countries and the rest of that sort of thing. They had a war chest, which is a chest full of gold, which they would use to pay the soldiers. In the event they had to go to war, they would pay the soldiers. Where'd they get the gold? They taxed their own people. If they taxed too much, the people themselves would not support them in the event of a war. If they didn't tax enough, there would be nothing for defense. If they taxed too much and they really had a huge war chest, it would be an incentive for their enemies to come invade and say, you know how much gold King John's got over there? I'm telling you, he's got more gold than you can count. Let's invade. When we were on a gold standard, there was a kind of inhibition. All right, you really had to pay your bills. If you ran out of gold, you're in big trouble. If you had too much gold, you overtaxed your people. They wouldn't support you if you went to war. There was a kind of inhibition when we were on the gold standard that would slow us down. It wouldn't stop wars. War has been going on since time began. But when we got to a debt-based monetary system where we could do deficit financing and we could borrow, we could fight now and pay later. And the public doesn't mind that. We don't mind going to war as long as we don't have to pay higher taxes. Right? If we were in a circumstance where we had to pay for that war now, as we wouldn't go to anywhere near as many wars as we do. We wouldn't be playing world policemen. If we had to fight a war, we'd fight a war, but it would be a fight, and we would be there to finish it off in a hurry and cut costs. But as long as we can borrow and use our credit and fight on credit, let our kids or grandkids pay for it, why not? And so we have more wars and more adventurism, and it has a lot to do. I saw there was a series of Time Life, maybe. They put out little encyclopedias, sets of encyclopedic books back in the 1990s on different subjects, and one of them was The 20th Century, The Age of War. I believe that was the title. And it always seemed to me that they should have said it was the age of credit. You can't get a good war going without credit. Right? And if we didn't have as much credit and it was not as easily available, I don't think we'd have anywhere near as many wars. And if we did, they wouldn't drag on for 8.5 years in Iraq or 13 years or whatever in Afghanistan. Get in, do what you got to do, get out, cut costs. But not when you got the old man's credit card, Uncle Sam's credit card. Our credit's good. Pull that tanker up to port. You know, fill it up with food and water and whatever, and we're gonna go fight some more. We'll put it on the cuff.
Yeah, but there was always a degree of confidence into which they could borrow, and I believe that is waning, and I think that's why we're not seeing these numbers. That we should be seeing, which it's interesting. And that really does say a lot.
Well, it's something that could be calculated. There must be people who understand how much it costs per day to run an aircraft carrier, a particular aircraft carrier. What does it cost per day to run the destroyers and whatever support ships are there to support that aircraft carrier? What's it cost per day? I mean, I'll bet that number is easily available to somebody who knows what he's doing. It can be researched, and you could tell the public, here's what it's costing. Mr. Trump sent an armada. He described it as an armada. It was only for initially just one aircraft carrier and I think two boats, two ships. Doesn't strike me as an armada, but that's what he called it. Okay, what's the going rate for an armada? How much does it cost for a day, for a week, for a month? And then you have to ask yourself, are we prepared to spend that amount of money just to go fool around with some crazy guy over in the Korean Peninsula? Somebody, you know, someone should be minding the till on this thing. So how much are we spending? How much are we going to spend? I don't know. I don't have an answer for those questions, but you can be aware of the questions and you can wonder about it yourself and say, what is this costing us? And sooner or later, that idea is going to come to the forefront. And people are going to say, well, what are we paying for this gesture? Because maybe that's all it is. You know, if we don't either bomb Kim or get him to make a dramatic, significant concession, it's just a gesture. You know, used to be saber rattling. It didn't cost much to rattle your saber. It costs a lot to move an aircraft carrier. So, how much are we spending? Can we afford it? Blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's people that are thinking about it, but the idea has not been well publicized. It hasn't been something in the press. But, you know, like Melody was talking, she has had an article from the Wall Street Journal about whether or not the gold is really in the vaults. We're going to see more mainstream come up with these kinds of questions. They're going to say, what are you guys doing up there anyway?
Times are rapidly changing.
Yeah. And that's...
And it can be very... It's disturbing, frightening, and...
The problem is how fast it's changing.
Yeah, yes.
Right? And I think that as much as anything, you're talking about the fear index, the fear and greed index, the VIX index, and the rest of that sort of thing. If people are getting upset and fearful, it's not as if we've never seen these kinds of problems ever before. All right, we have wars. We've had wars in the past. We'll have wars in the future, presumably, and the rest of that sort of thing. But they're coming fast, fast, fast. I mean, one of the scariest things about this is if you're paying attention to the news... It used to be that you would spend a lot of time reading whether the local football team or local basketball team was going to go to the state finals or not. Right now, you're reading about what's happening in North Korea, what's happening on the border between India and China. We've got hotspot after hotspot. What's happening in the South China Sea? Hotspots, hotspots, hotspots. And there's going to be another one tomorrow. They're talking about putting American soldiers into Yemen. There's going to be something else in the next couple of days. They're going someplace else. It becomes unnerving just because the rate of change. It isn't that the changes are individually so extraordinary, but the number of changes and the rate that they're coming at you, it's breathtaking. I mean, it's one of those things where, oh my gosh, this is something extraordinary. What do you do in times like this, Melody?
You buy gold and lots of it. Yeah. And you buy it from Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. I was doing a program with Beth Ann from Common Sense Coalition. This was, I think it was before the election or right after the election. And I says, it's going to be a very volatile, there's going to be lots of action with this administration. And we've had nothing. But lots of activity.
And surprising activity. Surprising activity. You know, if all Trump had to do was deal with people like the president of North Korea, premier or whatever they call him, but Kim Il-jung or Un, whatever. If all he had to do was deal with foreign problems, all right, not a problem. Trump has had to fight off the Democrats. He's had to fight off the Republicans. He's got spies in the White House, for God's sake, that are working for Soros, according to some reports. I mean, this guy has a new challenge every single day. It's like he's got to fight all comers. It's like he's, a boxer in one of those old traveling circuses or whatever. He'll fight anybody. He'll bet you that, you put in your $5 and he'll pay you $50 if you can beat him in the ring. Bang, he knocks people out, knocks them down, knocks them out. They can't last three rounds with a guy. That's like Trump. He is taking on all comers, and I'm pretty much impressed. Because the stress of feeling surrounded and probably not knowing anyone he can really trust, that's got to be telling. That's got to weigh on you. And I don't know how Trump is handling it, but he is. But he appears to be. And so...
Well, it's 200 days, so... I feel like we've been in this administration already for 4 years. That's been 200 days.
You know, I bet you Trump doesn't. When someone says, "Gee, how the time flies when we're having fun." I'll bet you Trump doesn't laugh at that line. You understand that? The 200 days have not been all that much fun for Mr. Trump. And next 200, I don't know. Some people are talking about impeachment. They say he won't last till February. I think he will myself. I don't think you can get him out of the White House unless he wants to go. Just stranger and stranger and stranger. And, if you do anything, if you happen to look at any of the videos where people are advancing prophecy, a lot of false prophets, a lot of people don't know what they're talking about. They're showing up pretty rapidly. But there is a growing number of these videos that deal with prophecy, and there's an increasing quality in the presentation. They don't all sound like crackpots, and it's at least disturbing. It makes you wonder. It makes what's happening. Time to get ready, folks. I think we're getting a lot closer to some serious trouble. We're out of time. We want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
Work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me